Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, I tell you what, I was trying to hang on. I hope I did a decent job. The fellow you just heard on the air a minute ago, the guy is, he's a brain. I won't tell you where he graduated. I know exactly when. I've known him for years and years and years. But he's at another level intelligence-wise. He was discovered kind of young in life, you know, because he was killing it in school. Some of the teachers noticed that he was kind of weird, you know, by being so much smarter than everybody else, including people like me. And he was tested, and come to find out, he has genius level IQ, and he graduated about as high as you can graduate from. I won't say where or nothing like that, but the guy knows what he's doing. He's a professional. He's a scientist, and I really value him. And for obvious reasons, we can't out him because. You know, the enemy, God only knows what they do. You know, because they hate people like CW. And they hate me, Lord knows. I guess they'd kill me. They'd know it would be no big loss. But anyway, we're bringing our big sister, Nancy Hitt, on. I hope she can stay for the whole hour because her voice is starting to wear down, she says. But amongst some of the things we're going to cover, and I've been wanting to cover this article for about ever since I got this, we're going to give credit where credit's due. I get the Barnes Review. It's called A Journal of Politically Correct History. Somebody signed me up for this, whoever they did it. But God bless them. Thank you so much. I really enjoy it. But there's an article in the, let me look over here. It is the, this is the November, December 2022, number six. And on page 34, there's an article that starts, it says, FBI Corruption. It's really nothing new. Revisiting some of the FBI's dirtiest dealings, blunders, and setups in modern U.S. history by Pat Shannon. I believe Pat Shannon, I believe we interviewed him about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, early on in Blood River Radio history. We had him on to talk about Oklahoma City and maybe some about 911. I think that's who we talked about. I think that's who we interviewed. But anyway, this is a great article. It's a whole list of really horrible things, assassinations, poisonings, imprisonments, wrongful imprisonments, wrongful taping people. You name it. You name the wrongful crime, and the FBI has done it. And a sister, Nancy, also has evidence from Yori Call. I believe she has a letter because she used to write Yori Call. Yori Call was the son of Gordon Call. I know a lot about Gordon Call and Yori in case sister Nancy wears down. But she's going to come on, and she's going to cover mainly this article I just read you. FBI corruption is really nothing new. And plus other article she has to go along with that. I think she's going to talk about Baron Dale Beckwith, who was set up by the FBI in Alabama or Mississippi, I forget. But anyway, Sister Nancy, I hope you're how you doing tonight, Sister? I know I hope you're doing better than you said.
Yeah, I'm doing okay. I just hope I don't start coughing. You want to go over the Barnes Review article about FBI corruption. I've kind of hit it up to topic, my topic, as likely Mossad and FBI crimes. I added something to the list going way back to December of 1941. How about Pearl Harbor? There's no doubt that was an inside job. I'm not going to say that it was FBI. I'm not quite sure about that, but it was an inside job. My father was working for the federal government at the time of Pearl Harbor, and he knew that the Japanese code had been broken. And I'm sure a lot of people who are listening, they know that this was also another false flag. And our people were just used as cannon fodder. And that is one of the articles that starts with the Barnes Review something that people probably, maybe it started before they even got interested in politics. In 1962, the government started Operation Northwoods. I was still in college, or still quite young at the time, and this was a time that Castro had taken over Cuba, and our leaders were willing to kill untold numbers of U.S. citizens in order to frame Cuba, to frame Castro, because our government leaders, highly esteemed, honorable leaders, they were going to sacrifice American citizens in order to take over Cuba or to start a war with Cuba. And of course, we know that they had plans to attempt. There may have been many attempts to assassinate Castro. That was done by our government. In 1963, September the 15th, there was a bombing that took place at the 16th Street Birmingham Church, in which four black girls were killed. Four Klansmen were accused. That, again, according to this article in the Barnes Review, Bobby Kennedy may have been part and parcel of creating the... There was quite a few bombings that took place in Birmingham in 63 and 64. And, of course, this was done to push the Civil Rights Act. And these four Klansmen, it was a long, drawn-out affair with prosecuting them. The first one they got, and, you know, I don't know whether they were paid or not, but Chambliss died in prison in 1985. Two that were tried later on in 2001 and 2002 got life in prison. That was Blanton and Cherry. And Blanton died in 2020, and Cherry died in 2004. The fourth so-called Klansman, I don't know that he ever went to trial, but he died in 1994. But like I say, the unusual aspect of the Birmingham bombing, It has a handwriting of the Kennedys and the FBI, probably the Mossad too. In 1963, you've got in June of 1963, you got the black Medgar Evers. Edgar Evers was killed, and the FBI framed a man named Beckwith.
Yes.
There again, I don't know whether he did it or not, but they certainly framed him because they planted dynamite in his car. That was proven that they did that. In 1963, November the 22nd, you got the assassination of John F. Kennedy. So the FBI has been very active. They're not playing tiddlywinks. They're not sitting around waiting for something to happen. They get involved and plan a lot of these operations that are actually would never happen without their involvement. In 1966, you got Flight 800 at the JFK. I don't know if it was downed by a missile. That was another controversial so-called accident. And in 1967, August the 25th, you got George Lincoln Rockwell shot and killed, most likely by although they say he had been the killer had been a former member of Rockwell's group, but there again, we don't really know that for sure. 1968, of April the 4th, you've got Martin Luther King Jr. killed in Memphis. In 1968, June the 5th, you got Robert Kennedy shot. In 1972, Arthur Bremer shot Governor George Wallace of Alabama and paralyzed him. The one that, of course, I started becoming quite interested in was the Gordon Yorick call. Ambush attack. It took place in 1983, and I guess at that time I was becoming quite aware, and I did for many years write to Yorick, and he has spent almost 40 years. This is the son of Gordon.
Yes.
Call has spent almost 40 years in prison. There again, there is no doubt that that was an inside government roadblock. And, you know, I have a lot of information about that, Eddie, but you may want to follow up on what you know about it.
I would like to comment own, going back to the 16th Street Baptist Church bombing in Alabama. You know, I think of all the things that the FBI did, all the bombings they did, I think that probably harmed Southern people more than any of them all combined. It made white Southerners look horrible because for years and years and years, white people have been forced to do this so-called white guilt. I mean, if you ask any Tom, Dick, and Harry, even I thought for years that, oh, they had these evil Klansmen blew up this black church down there in Birmingham, Alabama. And, I mean, the amount of just of this slaughtering the character of people, the just dumping on people, making people look horrible, look like demons. And it just, and the reason, supposedly the reason, like you said, RFK, Robert Kennedy, wanted to get his precious civil rights legislation passed, which really, there was no rights for anyone. It's really hurt everybody, black, white, you name it. It really hurt a lot of people. And I've been read also, Miss Nancy, that it was really done. It was like RFK was doing it for 20% of the reason he did it was to get civil rights legislation passed. 80% of the reason was to get a strong surveillance society here, a tyrannical type society, communist society in the United States. I hear the music. I'll finish commenting on that when we come back, and we'll go back to Sister Nancy. Be right back, folks.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today. And gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Go ahead, make my day.
God bless you, dear Blood River Radio family. You know, I was talking to Rand one day last week. As a matter of fact, I talked to him today. He said, you know, Ed, he said, every time I'm doing the show, I'm thinking I'm doing a lousy job. You know, I don't think I'm doing like as good as I'd like to do. But when I go back and listen to the archives, I said, it wasn't as bad. I didn't do as bad as I thought. Well, I have the same thing. Same thing happens to me. You know, I feel like haven't been doing as well, as good a job as I could tonight. You have to be so flexible and so versed. Like, we go from covering, you know, PhD level statisticians work from a coronavirus vaccines to going to this article right here on the FBI Dirty Dealings. But if you will, people, hold on. We're trying to do a service for our beloved people the best we can. With that said, I'm going to go right back to the 16th Street bombing in Birmingham, Alabama. I remember that all too well. I was a teenager when that happened. I remember it just like it was yesterday. And the South caught holy hell because of that. And the Kennedys, especially RFK, may he rest in hell. He set that up because he's one of the people, he hated the South. He really did. He hated the Southerners. He worshiped blacks. And with that, I'm going to put a disclaimer out here. As you well know, I've run the New York Marathon. I always associate things to marathons. I've run the New York Marathon 5 times. I've been to New York multiple times. I have really good friends in New York and Jersey, New Jersey. The New Jersey gang, there's probably more hardcore. But I'm telling you what, people, I would say the people I've met in Jersey and in New York, there's a higher per capita of good people there than there are right here in this area, the South where I live. In Shelby County, it's polluted with these egghead, these self-haters, these cucks, these BLM, these ADL types. They hate you. They hate themselves. But anyway, I just want to put that disclaimer out there because we talk about the South and how wonderful the South is and everything. And this is a little rabbit trail, but I'm going to get off of it. But when we talk about this, sometimes we talk about the South, and a lot of our other friends talk about the South. They're thinking about the South 50, 75 years ago, 100 years ago, because I'm 75 years old, and I lived through when the old South changed into the crappy South now, because there's as much corruption, as much stupidity and ignorance. There's probably more self-hate right here in Shelby County, Tennessee, than just about any place I've been, and that includes up north. In fact, I'm gonna close that disclaimer with this statement. A very good friend of mine, Frank Hawaii, he said there's two types of people that live in New York. He said there's Jews and anti-Semites. So that tells the whole thing right there. Anyway, going back to Birmingham, that was set up to get the civil rights legislation passed through by the Saint RFK, Robert Kennedy. But I also read that it was RFK and the powers to be, it was 20% intended to get 20% to get civil rights legislation passed. But the 80%, the big reasons, the lion's share of the reasons they did all this so-called civil rights legislation passed was to get a gigantic surveillance state that we live in now, where you can't, you have cameras all everywhere, yourself in that. But that's before they had cell phones and stuff in those days. But now, they monitor your phone calls. Damn the First Amendment, damn the Second Amendment, damn the Constitution, damn the 14th Amendment. They monitor your text messages, your emails. It's a total surveillance society. But that was the reason. That was just part of this right here, this Birmingham street bombing was one of the reasons they did that, was to get this gigantic surveillance scooping system in there. And that hurt the South and some other people more than anything I know of. It really did. So I know that was a lot of talking there, Sister Nancy. I'm just trying to save your voice. Also, I just want to hope I didn't talk too long. But go ahead, Sister Nancy. No,
well, back to the Gordon Urie call situation. If people don't know about it, it's kind of complicated. But Gordon Call was a farmer in North Dakota, and he was basically a tax protester. The government had taken him into court. Probably because he had, at some point back in 1976, some kind of willful failure to file, I guess, his income tax. So he was leaving a meeting. They were having meetings in the West about these unconstitutional acts, and he was actually supposedly, I guess, on a parole. So Gordon was with his wife, Joan, and his son, Yori, and Yori's friend, Scott Fowl. Now, what happened was that they had kind of been warned. They were in two cars, but they had been warned there would probably be an ambush. they were wanted, and I've always said that my first thought was the government really will do anything they can to take you out if you're talking about their taxes. It's a little bit more complicated than that, and I'll explain that in a minute. But at any rate, there was an ambush. There was an ambush as they were leaving, as they left this meeting in North Dakota, someplace around Medina. And there was a shootout, but Yuri, the son, was the one who was shot. He was shot multiple times. He never shot anyone, and his friend also shot no one. Gordon had been in the World War II, and he was able to shoot and defend himself from these officers who started shooting at this ambush. And at any rate, Gordon was able to take his son and his son's friend to a local clinic, and he fled. When he fled, I guess he was in hiding for maybe 2 weeks. I don't have that right in front of me. At any rate, Yuri, the son, had to recuperate from multiple gunshot wounds, and I don't think his friend Scott was shot. I'm not sure about that. At any rate, they've been in prison now for 40 years, both of these young men, who they never shot anybody. Gordon was tracked down by the feds, and there's so many allegations about what really happened. They said that he was actually at a friend's home in hiding, and they actually just shot him in the head. I mean, there was no shootout involved. They shot Gordon Call in the back of the head and killed him while he was eating. And there's allegations that it says unknown persons cut off his hands and feet. And in order to prevent identification, they placed a mattress over his corpse, soaked it with accelerant, caught the house on fire, riddled the farmhouse with thousands of rounds of gunfire. I'm not sure if the owner of the property, he did 4 years in jail, the owner of the property. And Eddie, you were concerned and wondering, this is about the time of Bill Clinton's involvement, whether he was a governor, he might have been the governor at the time. I didn't have time to check on that. But they did use Bill Clinton's favorite body count cover-up artist, who is an Arkansas medical examiner, Dr. Malik, who lied about who fired a bullet into Call's head. So anyway, sometime later, I guess they left his body there, burned beyond recognition, and then there started rumors that it really wasn't him who they had killed. And later on, they did determine that the bones that were in the cabin were actually Gordon Call's. This is something I found out about or read about, learned about back in the 80s, and I was able to write to Yuri for several years. And like I say, now he's, I think he's in near Peoria, Illinois. And he's been there. I don't know if they say now that he might get out, which would be great after 40 years, not even firing a gun. But one of the things that I was telling you, Eddie, is I thought that this was all done basically because they were tax protesters. But that is not necessarily the case, because I'm calling my topic alleged Mossad and FBI crimes. Well, from the American Free Press, this is exactly what it says here. In Bitter Harvest, a book called Bitter Harvest, Arthur James Cochran provided a glimpse of the truths that Call had uncovered. In Call's judgment, end quote, the CIA, U.S. Marshal Service, FBI, Secret Service, and all but the smallest police departments were under the influence of the Mossad, end of quote.
That's a huge point I want our audience to take away from part of the story tonight. People, we're going to our second break in the second hour. We'll be right back after this brief break. Hold on to your seats.
Daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
The deal to exchange basketball star Brittany Griner for convicted Russian arms dealer Victor Boot is raising eyebrows and more because former Marine Paul Whelan was not included in the one-for-one deal. Whelan has been detained by the Kremlin since 2018. He's currently serving a 16-year prison sentence for espionage. He denies the accusations, and U.S. officials denounced his trial as unfair. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy criticized the deal to Fox News.
He left a Marine behind. It's made us weaker, yeah. It's made Putin stronger, and it's made Americans more vulnerable.
Elizabeth Whelan, Paul Whelan's sister, also raising concerns. Her focus was on foreign governments taking Americans for political purposes.
Hostile, weak foreign nations taking Americans prisoner and holding them as hostages. This has to stop, and my brother needs to come home.
Whelan speaking to CBS News. As far as Griner, she's receiving an evaluation at a military medical facility in Texas, routine for those who were held captive. A spokesperson for the State Department says their focus on ensuring Griner and her family's well-being are prioritized. A Tennessee man will spend at least 5 years in federal prison for assaulting officers during the January 6th insurrection. 35-year-old Ronald Sandlin was also sentenced to 3 years of supervised release and ordered to pay a $2,000 restitution. A former Minneapolis police officer was sentenced in state court for his role in the death of George Floyd. Alexander Kung pleaded guilty in October to aiding and abetting second-degree manslaughter. He appeared via video from federal prison in Ohio as he received his 3.5-year sentence from the state. Kung knelt on Floyd's back. Derek Chauvin knelt on Floyd's neck. Protests among attendees and walkouts by some colleagues marked the return of Los Angeles City Councilman Kevin De Leon to chambers Friday. He laid low for more than 2 months after he was recorded in a racist conversation. USA Radio News.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Excuse me, folks. I tried to jump the gun there, y'all. I'm trying to multitask here, looking at a little research. But anyway, folks, you're listening to Blood River Radio. My name is Eddie Bombardier Miller. We have dear sister Nancy Hiddone, and we're going to go right back to her. We've been talking about the massive crimes of the CIA, the CIA too, mainly the FBI. This article's coming just to repeat ourselves in case you're just not coming on the show. We're covering the great Barnes Review. I can highly recommend the Barnes Review. It's a terrific magazine. I know Gene loves it. I take it. Miss Sister Nancy gets it. It's a journal of politically correct history. And this is, once again, this is November-December 2022 issue of magazine, and we're on page 34. The title of the article we're covering is FBI Corruption. It's really nothing new. Revisiting some of the FBI's dirtiest dealings, blunders, and steps in modern history. We've been covering that. As Sister Nancy has been covering, talking about Gordon Call. We'll finish telling you all about Gordon Call, who he was and what he was. Before I go back to Sister Nancy, I'll just say he was probably what Thomas Jefferson envisioned as an ideal American. He was a Thomas Jefferson-like. He wasn't really one of these people for this big intellectual society. He wanted to envision an America made up primarily of agrarian farmers and people like that. People like my ancestors were. They farmed in Arkansas and Kentucky. But anyway, without further ado, we go back to Sister Nancy. Go ahead, Sister Nancy. I believe you're talking about Gordon Call and Yori Call.
Okay. I'm going to read a couple paragraphs from a letter that Gordon Call wrote while he was on the run before they killed him. It's detailed. I'm not going to go into all of his descriptions about what actually happened at the ambush. I want to explain, or he explains his own position, which, like I say, I always thought it had to do with they wanted to kill him because he was a tax protester. But I think this explains in a couple of paragraphs exactly why he had to be killed. He says, and this is the letter that he wrote, while he was in hiding, "I would have liked nothing other than to be left alone so I could enjoy life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness which our forefathers willed to us. This was not to be. After I discovered that our nation had fallen into the hands of an alien people who are referred to as a nation within the other nations. As one of our founding fathers stated, they are vampires, and vampires cannot live on vampires. They must live on Christians." He tried to get, he's talking to whoever the founding father was. The founding father tried to get a provision written into the U.S. Constitution that would have prevented Jews from living inside the U.S. He warned his brethren that if this was not done, their children would curse them in their graves, and that within 200 years, their people, the Jews, would be sitting in their counting houses rubbing their hands, while our people would be slaving in the fields to support them. This has happened exactly as was predicted. These enemies of Christ have taken their Jewish Communist Manifesto and incorporated it into the statutory laws of our country and throwed our Constitution and our Christian common law, which is nothing other than the laws of God as set forth in the Scriptures, into the garbage can. We are a conquered and occupied nation, conquered and occupied by the Jews, and there are hundreds or maybe thousands of front organizations doing their ungodly work. They have two objectives in their goals of ruling the world: destroy Christianity and the white race. Neither can be accomplished by itself. They stand or fall together. This is the nail in the coffin of Gordon Call.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you, Sister Nancy, when we talked earlier of the day, I think, about that. That is probably what got him, several things got him in really dangerous hot water, or got him killed. First of all, he came out and he exposed, just like you said, he exposed who really runs this country, who has really infiltrated the top from our legal system, our justice system, from the top all the way to the bottom, like you said, that's the lowest totem pole, probably the sheriffs, because if you know, even in like little county sheriffs, like say for Lafayette County, Mississippi, Tupelo, Mississippi, Alabama, you name it, Kentucky, they get these little sheriff's departments, police departments, they get all kinds of goodies. They get armored personnel carriers, machine guns, stuff like that. For the federal government, that's a part of what you're talking about. Another thing that probably we both agreed probably got him killed was he was a tax protester. He saw that the tax system in this here United States of America is totally unconstitutional, totally against God's law. That he knew, and I've read about this before. He knew that what we both know. He knew that the Federal Reserve is controlled 100% by Jewish international bankers. And when everybody's mama has their, got their favorite Jew, their favorite nice Jew, and they got their favorite black, their favorite nice blacks. And I have some. Listen, I have some blacks I talk to all the time. They give me free coffee. They're nice. They really are. And there's, I've never seen any Jews that the first Jew I ever saw in the army cheated me out of 15 cents. But I hear there's some of them good out there. But we're not talking about that. You know, when someone comes up and tells you, well, I know this good Jew, I know this good black, that's what they call a red herring. That's a mechanism to try to get you off the trail, get off of, and I've mentioned this red herring term before, back, and I'll make this brief. Red herring to coon hunters or fox hunters. You try to take the scent of a competing animal. Say, for instance, foxhounds. The foxhounds are on the trail of a fox. They try to see how good the dogs are. They try to pull, like, the scent of a rabbit, the scent of a deer, et cetera, across the trail to try to distract them, to get them off the scent of the quarry they're supposed to be chasing. So when someone tells you, oh, I got this good Jew, he's the salt of the earth. Well, first of all, I would say, I know this is a rabbit trail, but I would ask them, ask your precious Jew buddy if he will denounce that godless Satan worshiping religion of Judaism, because Judaism is a Satan is satanic religion. Ask them, will they denounce their Jewish ancestors that killed Christ? Ask them, will they denounce their fellow Jews that 90% of them are involved in destroying the border in the South? 90% of them are backing gun control. All of Judaism, the Jews. If you go to Hollywood, it's Jew City. Ask these blacks that have been in trouble for, what is this, Kanye? They're telling the truth. Jew City, Hollywood, New York, Hometown, like Jesse Jackson got in trouble for saying that. It's Jew. Like Dave Kahari said, it's always Jews all the time. Ask them, will they denounce that? Ask them, will they denounce? Ask them, will they ask their fellow Jew buddies to get the hell out of Lebanon and where they don't belong? They talk about, if you're anti-Semitic, if you don't support the Jewish state, what damn Jewish state? You've only been there since 1948, and you went out there under criminal, you invaded the place with
absolutely
this massive
right.
military, massive
absolutely.
Military might.
Absolutely.
Once again, I'm getting off traffic here, but Gordon Call knew all that. He knew that the CIA, he knew, well, the CIA, but he knew that the Federal Reserve and their pit bull enforcing units, the IRS, he knew the control lock, stock, and barrel by Jews. He knew that every penny of our income tax goes to Jews, international bankers. I'm not talking about that good little Jew that works hard as a plumber or something that we all know. I'm talking about the 99.9% of the Jews, not that 1/10 of 1/1000 of a percent of good Jews. I'm talking about the ones that control the international banking settlements, that control, that keep American people like me and Nancy and all these other white people, that keep you broke, taxing you to death, bringing in millions of dark, dusky park aliens in here to suck off of our tax money. That's the Jews I'm talking about. Gordon Call knew that. He knew that the Federal Reserve was a group of banks, private banks, owned lock, stock, and barrel by Jews. He knew that they were out to steal his farmland in North Dakota, in South Dakota. That's what, what's his name, the country western singer, Willie Nelson. That's what he got in trouble for standing up against the confiscation of farmers. I can't believe it's the last break. I got to shut the hell up when we come back after this break, Miss Nancy. People, hold on to your seat. We're going right back after this last break.
This is a battle between truth and deceit. A battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Dear Blood River Radio family, listen, we're going to go back to Sister Nancy right quick. I'm just going to read this thing right here at the end of this list that Sister Nancy sent me. We're talking about an agency, a law, quote, law enforcement agency. Ha ha. What a bunch of thugs. Just pedophiles, Satan worshiping thugs. I can't stand those people. The FBI is there for one purpose, people, and that's to enforce the status quo of the pedophiles, the rapists, the drug dealers, the Satan worshipers we have that are running this damn government. They're there to arrest and imprison our people on trumped-up charges with the complicity of the courts and the pressure from the SPLC and the ADL and other Jew liberal fronts such as Bill White, Matt Hale, Ert Zundel, often Klan members and others such as the so-called kidnappers of Governor Whitner, Oath Keepers and Proud Boys, all operating with tax-paid plants. I mean, that's true. That's what they do. They set people up. They plant evidence. They plant child porn on people's computers. They plant cocaine in people's vehicles. They're the scum of the earth. And I hope I live to see that agency dismantled. And I hope I see them. Most of them go to prison and get their comeuppance. But I know that's kind of a rant I'm going on, but I just can't stand them sons of bitches. And I hope they go to hell. I really do. You know, but I know it's pretty strong. Maybe I'll shut up. I'm back to you, Sister Nancy. I guess I'm raving too much.
I was just going to follow up on, since we ended up sometime in 1983, we know that they haven't been playing tiddlywinks since 1983. They've been involved in many other crimes. And September the 1st of 1983, Congressman Larry McDonald was killed in a plane crash near Sakhalin, Russia. A lot of people thought at that time that was an inside government job, U.S. government, not Russia. So, again, I know there's a lot of different stories about that. Some people say he survived. I don't know that he did, but I think the government was really glad to get rid of Larry McDonald. They were happy to have him gone, and that's why people thought that the plane went down on because our government was involved in it. In 1992, our lovely agents, they held 11-day siege at Ruby Ridge in Naples, yes, Idaho, in which three people were killed at the Randy Weaver home. Lon Horiocchi shot Randy Weaver's wife while she was holding a baby. This is not new information, but I just wanted to bring us up kind of to date. 1993, you had the first World Trade Center attack. Six people died, and they were forecasting, you know, there were going to be, that was oddly enough, an Arab was able to tape the agents who were trying to, the agents who were actually creating this this bombing of the World Trade Center. Now, he taped it. In 1993, there was a 51-day siege at the Branch Davidian compound in Waco, Texas. David Koresh, you know, I don't know. To me, I can't see that there was any reason why they even attacked the place. They burned up 80 people, burned alive at Waco, with our paying for that. Yeah.
I'd like to make a quick comment. You're absolutely right. You know, we had a fellow, Officer Jack McLam, I may have told you about, and Lieutenant Colonel James Bo Greitz. We used to interview them. I used to be able to talk to McLam. But anyway, they're both McLam's deceased now. But they went out there to try to stop that siege. And here's the thing. The only people that were able to survive coming out, there was a big compound at Waco. And I know a person, I won't say who he was, because I don't like him. But when I pointed out the fact that Butch Reno, Janet Reno, the Department of Justice, she was the Attorney General, she sicked all these people on this. There was an occult, a religious mm-hmm. cult, we've been told, living in out here in Waco. Well, the United States government, they had tanks. The United States government had tanks out there and knocked the walls of this compound down. The United States government pumped in poisonous, toxic gas. They set a fire. They burned these people alive. And when they came out, when these people, we're talking about men, women, and children. I've heard there was some suckling infants still nursing their mother's breast. And children, when they came running out, they had snipers and damn helicopter shot them. The only mm-hmm. one, the people that didn't shoot was the ones that what precious few news media were out there recording the things. They didn't shoot the people that were in full view of the newspaper of the media that were recorded. But the people that they knew that were out of sight, eyesight of the news media, they shot the hell out of them. They shot them when mm-hmm. they were trying to escape. And mm-hmm. what? I don't know why, but I just had to get that in there. This is your precious government, folks. This is your FBI and your CIA and your vaunted military. These big, these wonderful military snipers. God bless them. They're such brave men. Yeah. They shoot women and children from helicopters. Anyway, go ahead, Miss.
Okay, in April the 19th of 1995, you've got the Oklahoma City Federal Building bombing again. Very curious situation there. Probably a patsy who was set up to do that bombing. A lot of questions have been asked about that. And then, of course, you've got September the 11th, 2001, Twin Towers, New York City, Saudi Arabians flying gigantic airplanes and bring them down with box cutters. I mean, that, you know, the whole story is just so fabricated. I love the idea that one of the passports ended up on the ground unburned from the top of the building. You know, that and the fact that the tower number 7 fell without being hit. You know, just people would only open their eyes and see that this is another totally, this was actually what it was. It was a insurance scam, a Jewish insurance scam. In 2014, on September the 4th, Edgar Steele was arrested on trumped-up charges and for setting bombs in his wife and mother-in-law's car. And he ended up dying in a California prison. They wanted him gone. He was a lawyer who had been protecting, I guess you might say, some right-wing clients. And then one of the things, I didn't write the date down, but something I left out, was the Bundys out west, and I believe it was Nevada, where they were trying to, gosh, I don't know what they were trying to take their people's land for, something over the BLM land that they were using to put their cattle on. And then another thing, the 2021 January the 6th protesters, which there many of them are going to end up behind bars for years. That was another setup. We know pretty sure that a lot of those agitators were paid by us taxpayers to create problems and encourage violence. So anyway, that's just a short list, really.
You know, I'd like to go back and make a comment on the Oklahoma City bombing. You know, we had did a big story on that. But as I was talking to you, Sister Nancy, there was a fellow by the name of Eric H. Holder, Jr. He was the Attorney General from 2009.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Under Obama. Under Obama.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, he had this, I believe it was Fast and Furious, this program they had.
Oh, God.
Under
Eric Holder. Yeah, you don't hear anything about that, do you?
No. They were walking, you know, this is the scum are. But one of the many things, Eric Holder's footprints, I've been told, fingerprints were all over that Oklahoma City bombing, too. He was there. And I'm going to tell you, before I go to Fast and Furious, don't let me forget Fast and Furious, but I've got to work this in. The reason they picked, here's some of the reasons they wanted to blow up the United States government under Clinton, I believe it was. They want to blow up, check me if I'm wrong, I believe it was Clinton. It could have been Obama, but I believe it was Clinton. They want to blow up a large hospital, a nursery, a federal. They want to do like a Pearl Harbor effect on the citizens of the United States to stir up the masses' emotion. And one of the reasons they wanted to do it, they wanted to discredit. This is according. This is why I'm telling you. It came from State Senator John DeCamp. We had John DeCamp on our show when I was with the TPC. Before he choked on a chicken bone, Senator John DeCamp, he told us DeCamp was buddies with William Colby, who was at one time he was the director of the CIA. And William Colby told Senator DeCamp that the reason this Oklahoma City bombing thing, one of the reasons they did that, was that they wanted to throw feces on the militia movement, because the militia movement was getting really big. It was getting big. William Colby, director of CIA, said that the federal government, the powers to be, the super government, the government above the government, they were getting worried about the militia movement gaining so much speed. They blamed all this on the militia. They blamed the destruction of the Murrah City. Trade building, you know, federal building on that. And you know, and here's what he said. So DeCamp said that the reason they picked Oklahoma City, it was down between Oklahoma City and Phoenix, Arizona. They picked Oklahoma City, people, because it had a nursery in it. It had a nursery.
Oh, my God.
And it killed those kids. And it got maximum. That was designed to get maximum emotional recoil of the American people, of these horrible militia people, these horrible guns. We got to do something about that. The same sorry dog, Eric Holder, whose fingerprints are on that, his fingerprints are all over this Fast and Furious, where the United States government was trading firearms to the drug cartels in Mexico and bringing in cocaine, all kinds of other drugs. They were trading drugs for firearms for drugs. This is the kind of government we got. Anyway, that's what I'd like to comment about that. Back to you, Sister Nancy.
Well, I mean, all I can say is I totally agree. We're living under tyranny, and it's not new. It's not new. These things, people are all concerned about Trump and the FBI. Well, yeah, the FBI has been working against Trump and Republicans. But wake up, folks. This is not new. It's been going on for decades.
And it'll go on until people like good people like us, we have enough people to really stand up. And I don't, you know, I'm no Einstein. Dr. Willie Vibrator. I guess probably a lot of people say, by the way, you're talking about out there, was it Nevada? You just named the people where the government was trying
the Bundy Ranch. Yeah.
You know, Sam was out there. I think Sam did interview some of those people. Sam Bushman, the guy who syndicates our show, Liberty News Radio. He was out there, and I believe he. Now I'm going out of limb here. He may have actually interviewed some of the Bundys. Well, you know, Sister Nancy, I hear the music. I wanted to say something else, and I wanted to let you say something else. But anyway, Sister Nancy, take us out. Tell the good citizens good night.
Bye, Eddie. Keep up the good work, and I hope people have been listening to what we've been saying.
Well, I just hope I was halfway, listen. What's that word I'm looking for? Eloquent, like you, and eloquent
right.
CW. Well, anyway, good night, everybody. Thank you so much, Sister Nancy, for coming on. Thank you, CW. Thank you, Lizzie and Cam. Thanks for making this show work. people, or we'll be here same time, same place, God willing, next 17th. Gene Andrews is supposed to be coming back. And also, people, the 24th, Christmas Eve, we'll probably do, we'll probably have to pre-record that show. First of the year, we're going to the third hour. Good night, everybody.